your bulletin's insert for this morning. We continue in the series on finding our sufficiency in Christ through His Word. You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly working in the life of every believer. He's constantly working in this world too, that those who would believe would come to faith and salvation in Christ. But really, as we look at the series that we're in right now in the Word of God, finding that sufficiency that only Christ can give us for life and godliness. Peter speaks of that, Paul speaks of that, John speaks of it as the Holy Spirit guided them to write. And that transformation that God brings about in your life and my life, not because of who we are, that we're better than anybody else, but because of who Christ is and because of our life in Jesus. And so that transformation continues to work from the moment that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many different words for that. Sanctification is one of the words that the Scripture uses. Progressive sanctification. Becoming more Christ-like. It's all part of that same work of God the Holy Spirit in you and me, in the body of the church. But we have to realize that the source of that change and the source of that life is found in Christ and Christ alone. It's just like He's the only one that you and I have found our salvation. He is the only one that anyone can find life and hope and salvation in. And that continuing process that He brings into our lives. So I want to take a look at the Word of God with regard to our personal problems. We looked at, we'll be looking at Christ and our relational problems starting next week. But Christ and my addiction. On the diagram in back of your outline that you have before you, this little pretty diagram where there are two trees. Actually, there's a third tree, and that's the cross in the center. But true trees, and they depict the condition of the heart, your heart, my heart. Two lives, two types of fruit that are developed in the life of that person. As I say, the third tree is the cross of Christ. We'll be exposed to this diagram a number of times, but what we want you to think about right now with regard to this diagram here this morning is the problem of the heart is really the heart of the problem for you and I as a believer, for all of us together in the body of Christ. It's a heart issue. H-E-A-R-T, a heart issue. And we come to the whole concept of addictions because we all have a potential. And maybe some of you here are wrestling with a particular addiction. I don't know, but the Lord knows. And at the risk of someone saying, Bill, how can you cover in 25, 30 minutes something comprehensive about fighting addictions? You can't. And we don't endeavor to do that. But what I do as your pastor want to endeavor to do is find, to show you that we find that sufficiency for whatever challenges in our life, whatever conditions that we're in right now, that Christ is all sufficient to give victory, to give hope and life. Addiction is something that seems to be an epidemic in our culture and society right now. All kinds of addictions. Now, what we want to do is you have your outline before you what an addiction is. But first, let's look at what an addiction is not. From a biblical perspective, an addiction is not a disease or a disorder. You see, you catch a disease, but you choose an addiction. It's not a disease or a disorder. And we love, in our culture and our society, we love to put labels on it. So if we can put a medical label on that addiction, and then you can say, well, you know, that's who I am. I got this disease. No, that's not an addiction. An addiction is neither a disease nor a disorder. An addiction is not inherited because our parents were addicts and passed on their addictive genes to us. Now, this does not in any way deny the fact of fetal alcohol syndrome, you've heard of that, and how that can affect the child there in the womb. And this does not in any way deny that you can have crack babies, and you do, we do, or drug babies. And there are things that are medically, physiologically transferred to the child. But when we come to addictions, addiction in pornography, an addiction to alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be, we'll go over a couple of them today. It's not something you inherit because of a gene that's been passed on to you by your parent. It's a behavior. It's a choice. Now indeed, the behavior of our parents can affect us. And so that when children grow up in a household where there are behavioral disorders and addictions, children can learn that addiction and choose that addiction. But there are many children that grow up in a house of various kinds of addictive behavior, and they don't have it. And there are some children who grow up in households that don't manifest addictive behaviors, and yet they have addictions. They are choices that we make. One of the things we want to do this morning in looking at Christ and our addictions is first of all to define the problem. Define the problem from a biblical standpoint. Because there is hope when we see it from God's point of view. Addiction is not due to some excessive social pressures upon us that we cannot withstand, and therefore must turn to an addictive substance or behavior to help us cope. No, it's a choice. It's a choice from the heart that affects the life. It's so easy to blame someone else or some group. God clearly says in His Word, there is no temptation, trial, or test in life that you and I face that is not common to all. But God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond your ability in Him. He will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What is an addiction? Take a look. We have a very simplistic, I know, but I believe it's biblically based definition of what an addiction is. It's not something caught, it's something that is chosen. Addiction is a bondage that begins in the heart with a choice that leads to a behavior that is an excess of, a perversion of, or a rejection of the truth and the will of God. Whether it's an addiction to drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, excessive eating, excessive shopping, hoarding, an addiction to work, an addiction to not working, an addiction to gossiping, an addiction to lying. They're choices. They're choices. And there's one label that God puts on that choice of the heart that puts that person into bondage that is contrary to the Word and the will of God. And that label is sin. But beloved, once we see from God's point of view, then we realize there is really hope. And if you leave with only one thing this morning, and maybe you don't suffer from any addiction, but maybe you know somebody who has an addiction, whatever that may be. If you leave here this morning with only one thing, I pray that you'll leave here this morning with the clear scripture teaching that there is hope for those who are in the bondage of addiction. Some of you, like myself, we've known and we know people that have been addicted to crack cocaine, and now they're walking with the Lord. Their lives are clean. Their bodies are clean. The addiction has been broken. They are no longer enslaved to that, but now they are in service to the Lord. Praise God. I think of Jim Nottingham there in the West Coast many years ago. getting involved in the drug culture over there because of various reasons, but most clearly because of his decisions. And Jim will tell you this today too. It wasn't because my parents got a divorce. It wasn't because I was thrown back and forth from them. It wasn't because of my peer pressure there in California. It was because I made that decision in my heart to begin taking drugs. Jim Nottingham came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and the living hope. Jim and his wife, Robin Nottingham, are now missionaries in Southeast Asia amongst the lepers. God changes lives. God breaks the bondage and the slavery of addictions. So whatever that may be in your heart, in your life, or maybe someone you know, if there's anything you leave here, my dear brother, my dear sister, this morning, I pray that you leave here with a clear understanding of what an addiction is, what the problem really is, what God's solution is, and knowing that there is hope, a real, real hope in Christ Jesus. And so beginning with your outline together with me, as we say, an addiction is that choice that leads to a behavior that is an excessive aversion of, rejection of, the truth and the will of God. We see this right from the get-go, there in God's word through in the book of Romans, where Paul talks about humanity in general and how they know the truth that there is a creator God. They see the design in all creation. They see everything is happening with purpose and plan. And they know that there is an eternal God. And yet, they believe a lie. Because Satan is right there saying, no, there is no God. It all happened by chance and by time. But in their heart, they made that choice. You see, unbelief is a choice too. And so God gave them over to all these behavioral disorders called sin. So Romans chapter 1, we see that. We have references to it. But I want to begin, if you will, with prayer right now. Father God, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, there is freedom. That the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Father, we thank you for that freedom, for that living hope we have in Christ. That there's nothing in all of life that's beyond the reach and the victory in Christ. Thank you, Father. Guide us now as we look into your word, Lord. May it indeed have its power and effect in our lives. We ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Beginning with Christ and our addictions, or my addiction, your addiction. Let's begin with a heart that dictates. A heart that dictates, because that's where it begins. A heart, your heart, my heart, that dictates. And what we mean by dictates? A heart that motivates, a heart that urges, a heart that sets desires in motion, a heart that causes us to lust. But it's your heart, it's my heart. We gave you an axiom last week. Why do I do the things that I do? Because what?
I want what I want,
right? And that's an axiom, that's a principle in God's word. If you ever wanted to know why you do the things you do, very clearly God says, because you want what you want. Now, when it gets into an addiction in your life, in my life, it goes in beyond that. It's not just that I want what I want, but I want more. Then it becomes an enslavement, a bondage that we have. A good question to ask ourselves, every one of us, what do I really want? You have that question right there before you in the outline. But we have, along with that question, a statement, a sentence. If I don't have dash, I want you to fill that in. If I don't have this, I am miserable. Now, what is this? What is your fill in? Now, there's many answers that I've seen and I've heard. Some of those answers, if I don't have pleasure, I am miserable. If I don't have power, I'm miserable. If I don't have freedom and autonomy, I'm miserable. I see that in the lives of not only adults, but I see in the lives of teenagers. If I don't have autonomy, if I don't have my own freedom, if I don't have peace, I am miserable. If I don't have love and intimacy, I'm miserable. If I don't have happiness and fun, I'm miserable. If I don't have comfort, I'm miserable. If I don't have meaning and purpose, I'm miserable. If I don't have respect and admiration, I'm miserable. If I don't have control, success, belonging. I'm miserable. Is that one of your answers? Or maybe more than one? You see, if that's the desire, and that's what your heart is motivated to have one of those things, or others, whatever it may be, that lust, that desire, that motivation of the heart, that heart begins to dictate, this is what you must have to fulfill your life, to be satisfied, for you to really feel like you're a whole person, to really feel like, yes, I'm having that pleasure, I'm having that fun, I'm having that control. You see, it begins in the heart that dictates. How is your heart dictating you right now? How has your heart been dictating this past week? See, a good, clear, and honest discussion about addictions that even Christians can have, and many Christians do have, it begins with this first step. What is my heart? What is my heart, my inner self, dictating, motivating me to do? You see, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make the man unclean. That's for both the saved and the unsaved. We can't say now that I'm a Christian, I don't have these things potentially at work in my heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. The Lord's saying it begins here in the heart that dictates, the heart that motivates, the heart that spawns these desires and these lusts, what causes fights and quarrels among you. James is talking to Christians that can have addictions. He says it comes from within. Isn't that why the Word of God tells us that we're to guard our hearts with all diligence, with all vigilance, because out of the heart comes forth the springs of life? Isn't this why the Lord says that we should ask Him to search our hearts and to show us those things that we need to get rid of, we need to confess? Isn't that why the Holy Spirit brings deep conviction into our hearts? Isn't that why the Lord also says that we're to hide His Word in our hearts, we're to treasure it in our hearts, so the Word can effectually work within us? Because you see, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He's the one who searches our hearts. And He knows the inclinations of our hearts. And so easily our heart can be moved and deluded and self-deceived into making the wrong choices. That's true for every one of us. You see, dealing with the addiction in the life of a believer, or in any life, it begins with this point here, a heart that dictates, that motivates, that produces urges and desires and lusts. The habits that dominate. Because if we allow our hearts to run their course according to the flesh, that heart that masters and urges and motivates will develop a habit that dominates. And take a look, if you will, at your thing. And your outline. Habits that dominate. Sin seeks to enslave us, master us, and destroy us. All of us. Jesus answered to them. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A Christian? Yes. Even Christians. Even you and I who profess the name of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Every day we face temptations from our own flesh that well up within your heart, within my heart, or from Satan himself, from the world itself. What are we going to submit our lives to and habituate ourselves to? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John is writing to Christians. He certainly doesn't want his brothers and sisters in Christ to begin to have dominating habits, to have sin that will destroy the fellowship with God and with one another. And so he sets a warning in place in their minds in this letter. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. That's a threat for every one of us. That's a temptation for every one of us. He's writing to Christians, men and women just like you and I. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is in the world. And the world is passing away along with all its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. But John is saying, we're tempted every day. And these are the areas of the temptation. We need to be aware, because temptations, if we make that choice to a temptation to pornography, to drugs, to alcohol, gossiping, whatever it may be, it becomes a dominating habit that becomes an addiction, a deviant behavior pattern that even Christians can have. Paul writes these words, who was read earlier. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? You've heard that statement. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a character. You've all heard that statement before, I'm sure, many times. In dealing with addictions and habits that dominate, you can take that same expression. You and I, if we sow a desire, you reap an action, a choice. You sow an action and choice, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you destroy your character. Now, I realize, and some of you think, well, wait a minute, just get Bill. Aren't there good habits? Yes, there are good habits. We're not talking about good habits. You have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit, you have brothers and sisters in Christ to tell you what good habits are. Eating is a good habit. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Yeah, but I can eat too much, okay? And that becomes a dominating habit. So any good habit can become a dominating habit, can become an addiction. I know some person who started out with exercise. Bill, exercise is good for you. Amen. I need to exercise more. But I know some brothers and sisters in Christ that has become an addiction in their life. You understand what I'm saying? There are good habits and there are good things that we need to inculcate into our lives and to our families. But you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about habits that dominate and can destroy your character. And not only destroy your character, but can destroy your marriage and your family. Habits can dominate. But if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. I love that verse, don't you? That's what the Lord says. That's the solution. That's the answer. Christ alone. Isn't that 12 steps? It's receiving Jesus Christ and taking every step with Him. All things are lawful for me, Paul says. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by any of them. Because my habits can dominate and become an addiction. Let's go to the last part, if you will, the last point. Hope that delivers. Because there is deliverance for the addict. Whether he's a Christian or she's a Christian or they're not. The hope is in Christ Jesus. Christ is our hope, our only hope. The first thing that those who are addicted need to hear, they need to see, they need to understand that there is hope. That hope is available. Because I know folks that have gone into therapy with various kinds of addiction, and they're in therapy year after year after year after year after year. I know people who are still saying, "My name is Bill Gray, and I'm an alcoholic." If you're a Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ can free you from alcoholism. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ can free you from drug addiction. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ can free you from the addiction of pornography or gossip or lying or whatever that thing that is so dominating your life. Let me take you to a passage where we see life-dominating sins. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, and Paul didn't want to write an encyclopedia naming all the sins of the world. But he wanted to at least address a cluster of sins that we could also see other related sins to. Though the list here is not exhaustive, the grace of God is never exhaustive for you or for me. Never. Take a look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 9 through 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" What address is that? The gospel. The gospel. That's the only way you and I can get into the kingdom of heaven. "Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Why? Because the gospel changes that. And God, who is holy and perfect, cannot look upon sin. But he's made the way out, hasn't he? He's made the solution for us. Those are life-dominating sins, incidentally. Those aren't just hit-and-pick things. "And such were some of you." Take a look. If you have your own Bible, underline that. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Yes, there's hope. There was hope for the homosexual then, and hope for the homosexual now. Yes, it's a choice. It's a choice. There's hope for the adulterer then and now. It's a choice. There's hope for the addict, whatever that might be. It's a choice. Make that choice today, Jesus Christ. The greatest choice you and I can ever make is turning to Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord. "And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free." What?
Indeed.
Yes, there is a heart that wants to dominate our lives, to be a master, if you will, dictate, motivate. There are habits that want to dominate our lives and put us into bondage. But there is a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that will set us free. I find it interesting that the word that Paul uses about being addicted to wine, he's talking about drunkards, talking about the addiction to alcohol. The word, the addiction there in the New Testament, it's interesting. It's a word also that has been used of a priest serving God. Think of that. Just kind of think about that correlation. You see, your addiction has become your God. And that's what addiction is. And it's my choice. And so we have that wonderful freedom, that wonderful hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finding the sufficiency of Christ through his word is always there available for you and I every day. Every day of our lives. And Christ's solution
for your life and for my life. Whatever addiction if you're fighting right now, whatever dominating habit you're fighting right now that you know is contrary to the will of God and to the Word of God, Christ is the answer. You need hope. You need hope. You don't need a therapist, you need a redeemer. You need a redeemer. The one who's a wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. We share some life stories of others, men and women, who've been released from the bondage of their addiction. I could take you to the McCauley Water Street Mission there in Canal Street, New York, and introduce you to some that are on staff right now that are involved, heavily involved in their addiction, their bondage, their slavery to their God, to their God. And now they're free, serving the Lord, living a life of wholeness now in Jesus, having a family that praises God for the deliverance of that dear lover. Let me just close with Romans chapter 15. I want you to turn there with me. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Just in closing, before we have the closing hymn, putting all on our altar to the Lord, because it's Him that we must be devoted to, and Him alone. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. As a word of encouragement and a word of hope. May the God of hope, brothers, sisters, if you leave here remembering only one thing, please remember for the addict who faces whatever bondage it is, whatever slavery and addiction it is, there is hope. Because God is a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It's not just a hope, so hope, but it's a know, so hope, because you know the one who is a living hope, Jesus Christ. And it's not just the hope at the moment of deliverance, but because He delivers, we have hope every day of our lives as we face the temptations of life, whether it's from the world, whether it's from Satan, whether it's from our own flesh. Because every temptation that you and I face, we have a choice. We have a choice. That choice can lead to an action. That action can lead to a habit. That habit can lead to an addiction. That addiction can shape your character. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the hope, the living hope we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Guide us, we pray, Father. And that indeed, if there be any father, brother, sister in Christ here this morning, or anyone, Father, here in the auditorium that is battling with an addiction, whatever that addiction might be, Lord, I pray that they see that it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of their heart and choices. Lord, but in that, because it's sin, we have a Redeemer. Lord, help them to see that there is that wonderful hope of deliverance. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Lord, help us to take this message of hope and life and deliverance to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Going to close the service by singing "Is Your All on the Altar." Just what the pastor was just talking about, that what we desire to do has to be according to the desire of the Lord, not the desire of our own heart overriding the desire of our own heart. So our heart has to be on that altar. So let's stand together as we sing three verses of "Is Your All on the Altar." Thank you.